This interview with Sarah Blythe of the Vancouver Overdose Prevention Society was recorded by Greg McDougall of equitableeducation.ca in Ottawa, December 4, 2018.
You're in the main place where this is happening.
Yeah.
And it's happening a lot.
Yeah.
And
like the overdose crisis.
Yeah.
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 So like, what's it like?
Well, it's, I mean, we see hundreds of people a day and we deal with overdoses every day, but we also deal with people dying in the community, which is terrible. So it's pretty traumatizing and for everyone. And it's very difficult on the community in the downtown east side because so many people have been lost that you can barely get over, you know, the last person or the last even five people, and you've got someone else dying that you have met and known for a long time or whatever. And it's just like, it's so difficult to even have, like, other people comprehend how it is. It's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's what I think is it's a different whole understanding or experience that I don't know if people can understand, and if they did, something would be changing, right?
Yeah. It's hard to explain, and it's hard to explain without, I mean, I don't know how to make people understand the situation and that it's a crisis, and like, how many interviews can you do with the media or anyone else for people to actually understand that people are really dying in outrageous amounts and there are things to do about it, and that it actually people can cling to that and actually really do something about it. I can't even meet a person who doesn't come to me with some story about how somebody's in their family has passed away from the crisis and, you know, how to help and what to do. People are really looking for the government to do something. And I think that I'm not really sure at this point why any level of government would be hesitant to really take on the crisis, because I think people are ready for the government to take it on, like to do something serious about it. So I think the government, it just doesn't know what to do because it's not the health crisis that they ever expected it would be a health crisis. You'd expect all kinds of different things to be a health crisis, but this isn't like what you would think of as one, right? And so I think that people, because they don't think of it as an actual health crisis, they're not treating it as one, a real emergency. So if they did, there'd be a lot more action taken, I think, if it was any other kind of emergency.
Yeah, like, do you think people are scared of it or just don't? Like, I think some people might not really get the extent of it.
I think, right? Because of the stigma attached to drug use, and there's something underlying within humanity where they just aren't taking it like seriously enough. Even when it hits close to home, I feel like people are not taking it seriously enough. I don't know how many more people have to die, including young people. I talk to families of people who've died almost every day, and there's different stories, but mostly it's, I never believed that this could possibly happen to my family and my, you know, my child or my, you know, my family member, or and leaving behind huge families. And, you know, there's organizations of mothers that have had children that have died, and they haven't, it just seems like nobody's having an impact enough. All of the people that are asking to do something about it, there's no, you know, the most heartbreaking stories haven't been enough to make it a priority. And really, like, the priorities are not policing it. It's giving people safe access to something that's not going to kill them, and treating it like a medical crisis and not a criminal, you know, throw everybody in jail crisis. So, you know, it's mainly just a different way of looking at the drug crisis and or drugs in general, and why people use them and who people are, and that most people I know have used drugs in their lifetime. That's not really the problem. The problem is you know, unsafe drugs, contamination, and And then it'll never be the same. I mean, now that fentanyl's here, I don't expect one day people are going to go, oh, no more fentanyl, and someone's going to have some feelings of sadness due to all the fentanyl that's out there, because it's so quick to make money, billions of dollars. It's just such an easy money grab for people. They just don't care about who dies in the process. So
myself and someone else, we were talking about that, like, just who's doing it? Who's putting fentanyl on drugs knowing that it's going to kill people?
Yeah.
But then the other thing that you were just saying is that I thought, like, here in a, well, I guess it's all across Canada, but they're doing it different ways, but the legal marijuana is, like, from the government, if it's from the government, and it's, like, certified to be free of anything, you're not going to get someone just smoke a joint and die.
Yeah.
And if they could do that for all the different drugs, that's what would help.
It would help. Yeah, easy access, you know, and or even free for people who need it. And just making sure that, you know, people with mental health have proper access to, or physical health issues have proper access to medication that's actually going to help them, so that they don't just start using drugs on the street. The problem is that, you know, people get these, you know, opiates, and they're taken away from them, and they're not given anything to deal with the pain, so they end up dealing with pain on their own. And as you use opiates, you need more and more over time to, and those, you know, when you're getting it from the street, you just don't know what you're taking. You don't, the main problem is you don't know what dose you're getting, so you don't know if it's like nothing, or you don't, or it's completely lethal with even just a tiny bit of what you're getting. So it makes it really difficult for you know, drug users that are living with pain, and you know, and then also like fentanyl, and the way that you feel when you're not taking it, if you decide to come off it one day, is unbearable for some people. So they just end up going back on and getting it from the street, I guess. Yeah, I mean, fentanyl, everybody in the downtown east side knows that they're using fentanyl now, so it's a drug. It can be used safely. It is cheap, and if, like, the government could provide safe fentanyl if it was done correctly, or if you had the proper dosing, you could actually take safe doses of fentanyl. It all has to do with the guy making, you know, people that are making it. If a government's making it, then you know what you're getting, because they would be dosing it. They have, you know, regulatory things that they can do to ensure safe amounts, just like any other drug. And I mean, you know, no matter what, the first sort, like, get, like, at our overdose prevention site, if I was able to give people safe access to anything like fentanyl, stimulants, and other things, they would come to us, they would get something that they knew they were taking. It doesn't have other things like Comet and pig dewormer and anything else that you could possibly imagine in there that's awful for people if they're not going to die, something else terrible. You know, just, it's not good to shoot that into your body or smoke it or anything else. Like, if we could give them safe access to drug on site, it would really make a difference in overdoses. We wouldn't have to call 911 all the time. People wouldn't have to go out and do survival sex trade. They wouldn't have to go out and do survival drug dealing. They wouldn't have to, you know, you'd take out a lot of the criminal element and just leave a person who got a safe amount of the drugs that they had, and we could oversee that. And then on top of that, getting people any kind of extra supports that they need, which would include mental health help, so that you're helping people with what they need, as opposed to just throwing them in jail and dealing with it there, and then having them in and out of jail and you know, and crime and jail and, you know, drug use and all of that. As opposed to that, you'd be, you know, help, you know, mental health help, you know, drugs that aren't going to hurt them, that aren't contaminated with other things. So you're ending up with just a healthier person who has more of an ability to make life changes whenever they want to, if they want to, right? Or if they need to use drugs for the rest of their life, or they want to, for whatever reason, that they've got that there's that choice. But the choice is safer for them, and it's less of a impact on their health.
So, like, how did you kind of get involved, and how has it progressed, this issue, like, over maybe, what, 5 years? Or I was also going to ask, like, so then what can the future look like, what it might look like if things don't, if they don't do take it seriously or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I think with fentanyl being here, and it was in Vancouver, and now you can see that it's just making its way all across Canada, and it's in the States and everything else. So I think that the only thing that we can do is get safe supply to people. I've worked in the Down Honeyside for around 12 years now, and when I first started, I worked at a homeless shelter that was low barrier. So we had, you know, people could be using, they could be drunk, like there wouldn't be.
You don't get kicked out.
Yeah, no kicked out for anything. So, there wasn't nearly as many overdoses. I know at the same shelter, there's frequently overdoses, and they're obviously more prepared for that than I was. But there was some, but it's just gotten worse over time, more people dying. And it kind of, you know, I kind of had probably in about 2015, it seemed to be like, why are all the, you know what I mean? Like, there's more people dying than usual. And, you know, you just couldn't put your finger on it completely, but there was kind of like a slow uptake of overdose deaths, and then it was all of a sudden just everywhere, all the time, like on, you know, during, like, you'd see people overdosing in the street everywhere, and it was like, what the, you know what I mean? It went from like, you know, it seems like this isn't real, that all these people are dying, to like visibly seeing people overdosing. And there was a certain point where people were just like, don't use inside. Don't go into your room and use inside. Use on the street.
Where someone else is.
So some, yeah. And I mean, that's the alternative for people. I mean, although when you're in Ottawa, you'll just freeze. It's the complication of both the cold weather and an overdose. And we were doing, you know, in the snow outside, we had our tent, and people's hands were freezing, and people were, you know, it's just... It's a terrible combination for people. So, just safe places for people to use. We were talking to the nurses at the committee today, and a person from the Manitoba Nurses Union, and she was saying that like it's just really hard on the healthcare system to have people come in and have be on in drug psychosis. But for us, it's not. I mean, it's an issue, and we need more mental health help and help support at where we're at. But I think people are better in their own communities with people that are also drug users and know them well. And that's in those situations. I think mental health includes community help, and I think one psychiatrist told me that the best mental health help is a good friend. To help calm you down. And I always, you know, I always take like a friend saying, hey, you know what, you're not doing so well right now, it seems like maybe we should just like, what do you need, as opposed to sending them to the hospital with the police and this and that, is less of a, it's going to be a lot more of an alarming situation. And you know, they get to a hospital where people don't have the time to deal with them, and sometimes, you know, it just creates friction, and that's when, you know, things, you know, it's easier for us to deal with it in our own communities.
And it's less...
Overdose prevention sites are so important because they do build community around helping each other and support, and there's no stigma, and people are trained, you know, properly to be able to help each other. So I think those are the best sites to kind of start to build care out of.
Yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to bringing people to the hospital where the hospital staff are already... maxed out as it is, and not prepared to deal with it. In Vancouver, actually, at St. Paul's Hospital, now they have a overdose prevention site that's attached to the hospital, which is good. I think that's a really good step, so that, you know, they can help people there. Yeah.
But like you're saying, it's the resources too, right? Putting people in hospital all the time and the police all the time. If you put that resources to something that would really help.
Yeah.
It would,
if you take it away from just criminalizing. They said, you know, when they shut down Riverview, which is the mental health hospital, everybody just went into the streets.
Yeah.
And then they went from the streets and then started to go into jail. And so now, you know, we're dealing with, you know, Canada deals with mental health by putting people in jail or drug, you know what I mean? And some of these, or even drug use. It's just time to stop doing that because it's not helpful, right? It's not helping anyone. We just need to get people so that they're not doing criminal activities. If they're doing an activity, it should be not criminal for no reason. You know what I mean? And help them sort out why they're doing it if that's what they want. But, you know, by just putting people in jail for drug use, especially those folks that have other, you know what I mean? It's just, it's not very hopeful for anyone. And when they get out of jail, they usually just go back into shelter because they have no money. And that's how that is. And it's not useful. It's super expensive.
Yeah.
It's not useful. It just leads to crime. It leads to survival sex trade. It leads to things that people don't necessarily, even survival drug dealing, just things that people would, you know, it'd be a lot better if they got out of jail. And, I mean, they just did a study and people who get out of jail are way more prone to die right after they get out of jail. So that's just, that's something. And detox even. So those things aren't working the way we want them to work. People have to be ready and they want to be in detox. But if they get out of detox, they have to have something safe or a safe place to go to talk to people about, okay, I'm out of detox. Now how can I need help here. Because not everybody makes it. They don't always detox the way we think, especially ones that are, you last for 2 weeks and you're out. So, but you know that. But anyways.
So it's just a matter of like all this. We know what to do, and it's just a matter of having it
happen
through the governments.
And, yeah.
Yeah.